You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Good morning. You may recognize his name or perhaps his voice from Marketplace, but you will want to learn more from him and his new book, A Beginner's Guide to Paradise, 9 Steps to Giving Up Everything So You Too Can Move to a Pacific Island, Wear a Loincloth, Read 100 Books, Build a Bungalow, Diaper a Baby Monkey, and maybe, just maybe, fall in love. Alex Sheshinoff, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
I began reading this. Well, I had high hopes from the title that this would be a kind of a guidebook, but it's more than that when you're trying to describe it to newcomers. How do you describe this book, Alex?
Well, it's just a personal story with a lot of jokes. You know, I'm not like John Milton, who said he wrote Paradise Lost to, quote, justify the ways of God to man. In my book, at least, there's a lot of sugar to help just a little bit of medicine go down.
Well, it is, and I was just telling my engineer before we went on the air that I laughed throughout this book. You have some great quips in there, and even through the pain of all you were going through and your experiences, I still felt pretty good even through your pain. But how did this begin? I mean, why did you decide you were running an internet company and decided that that was just not all that, and that you were going to chuck it all and go live on a Pacific island? You know, what would be a stereotypical dream, but what was the true story behind your move, Alex?
That's right. When I was running this little tech company in New York, a tiny trade magazine ranked me 96 out of 100 most influential people working in tech in the city. This is early days. It's not a huge achievement. But that day, I realized I had two choices, Mark. I could spend the rest of my life working my way up the list, or I could cancel my subscription. In that sense, it was a pretty easy choice.
So you decided to cash out and do it, but you were the person who found this company.
Right. I did start it, and I managed to ride the dot-com boom without making a fortune. I was fortunate that I got involved in New York real estate at the beginning of the real estate boom, and so managed to sublet my apartment and sublet my office in a way that could cover my expenses in the Pacific. And it occurred to me at some point that somebody was working really long hours so that I could, you know, read books in the South Pacific. I thought it was ironic. He probably didn't think so.
Of all the places, you know, when I think of a Pacific island, I think of Tahiti or Vanuatu or Hawaii. But you ended up on a Pacific island called Yap. How did you end up at Yap?
Yeah, that was one of the mistakes I may have made, Mark. I Googled the words really nice Pacific island.
Okay.
And it turns out there are 29,000 islands in the Pacific. But the first one that came up was called Yap. And I read that it was still very traditional. The women were topless and everybody wore loincloths. And I thought, well, maybe that's a good place to start. What I didn't know was that on Yap there are no beaches and there's a growing leprosy problem.
And you describe it's, you know, we think of those white sand beaches and the palm trees and all, but really Yap was, as you said, there was no beach. It was all mangrove swamp.
Yeah, that's right. That it wasn't really the brochure or screensaver version of paradise that I had been expecting. And it also, you could fly there. Not easily. You had to go via Honolulu and Guam, and Guam's 7 hours to the left of Honolulu. So it's a long way. But I realized that I didn't really want to be on an island that I could fly away from the moment things got tough. And so I found a spot on a freighter called the Micro Spirit that went to the outer islands of Yap, and ended up on another island called Pig.
It just keeps getting better. But then you did find what you thought was going to be the right island, because step number 4 of the 9-step guides and a beginner's guide to paradise is stop being so picky and just pick a damn island.
Well, you know, I had this idea, this sort of experiment of sort of taking away friends and electricity and seeing which I miss most, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But what I didn't know was that on Pig, what I would end up missing the most was chairs. People on Pig, they don't sit on chairs. They lie down or they squat on coconuts, but they never actually sit on a chair. And I never did get to test the importance of electricity. You know, they had solar panels and a DVD player, but sadly, only one video. It was called Gas Attack Training Made Simple. Someone had a son in the U.S. military, and, you know, I don't know. My heart still goes out to them.
I laughed in that section. And also in the section where, as you're wandering around these Pacific Islands, you come across a radio station, Seventh-day Adventist radio station. Talk about that little adventure you went on.
Yeah, I was driving around southern Guam looking for a place to live when I saw these huge, giant towers. And I was like, what is going on inside there? And so I knocked on the door. I don't know why I did, but it turns out it was a radio station for the Seventh-day Adventists, and they were broadcasting to 2 billion people throughout Asia, all in languages that nobody at the station spoke. It was really an incredible, incredible spot.
Speaking with Alex Sheshinoff, who is the author of A Beginner's Guide to Paradise, 9 Steps to Giving Up Everything So You Too Can Move to a Pacific Island, Wear a Loincloth, Read 100 Books, Build a Bungalow, Diaper a Baby Monkey, and maybe, just maybe, fall in love. And I wanted to ask about the 100 books, too, because that was part of what your mission was in going out to the Pacific, was to do some reading and talk about the 100 books and the choices you made in choosing those 100 books. Because, after all, we are a book show here, Alex. So.
Right. So before I left, I asked everybody I knew, basically, if you could send me to the Pacific with just one book, what would it be? My mother, for her part, gave me Into the Wild, you know, about the guy who heads into the wilderness and dies.
Yes.
which I guess was appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, but there were a lot of classics there, like, you know, Moby Dick and War and Peace and such. And you know, I read most of them, but Moby, I know complaining about Moby Dick is like complaining about traffic in L.A. It's, you know, it's expected. But never, Mark, have I so wanted a whale to die. And I generally like whales.
Well, what book out of those 100 did you most enjoy reading?
Well, it was a really short one called The Hedgehog and the Fox.
Oh, yes.
It's basically, it's an essay by Isaiah Berlin, and he says there are two kinds of people, men and women.
No, right.
That's just a joke. He says there are hedgehogs who focus on one thing that they find really important and really interesting, and then there are foxes who find just about everything interesting. My hunch is that if you're running a radio show about books, you're probably a fox that you find everything interesting. Am I right, Mark?
That's right. You're right, Alex. You're right. Most certainly am a fox, yes. Well, and that was something that you also talked about. You talk about falling in love, and I love your encounter with the woman you eventually married when you went on a full moon kayak trip. Share that story.
Briefly, I was coming back into a dock on an island called Palau, and a group of people were heading out kayaking, and I asked if I could join them, and they said, if we have an extra spot, you can, and they did. It was completely dark, and I ended up being seated in a kayak with a woman who I would eventually marry. But for the first 3 hours that we knew each other, we were just voices. It was a little bit like meeting somebody in a, you know, Catholic confessional. Not that I meet a lot of people in confessionals. but it was actually really romantic, and, you know, but maybe also inevitable. You know, as my grandmother used to say, you know, you put two goats in a corral and eventually they'll fall in love.
Well, I wanted to say, now, or was this just your artistic liberty here that you took, Alex, when writing about that first encounter? Were you in that double kayak, which you say has a nickname, Divorciax, because they're so fun when you get a man and a woman together, or actually just two of anybody. But you said, I bet we get married and divorced by the time this night is over, because you were in the kayak with her for the first time. And noticed that you weren't that talented in the kayak. Was that true, or a little artistic liberty you're taking there?
No, that's absolutely the very first words I said to the woman I would eventually marry, was that someday we will get divorced. But so far, so good. We've been married for a while now, and we have two kids, so full speed ahead.
Well, you mentioned earlier electricity and friends, seeing what you could do without, but you did suck some friends into this adventure because you talked them into helping you build a house on one of these Pacific islands, and it's quite an adventure that you went on, Alex.
Well, house is generous. It was more of a...
Oh, that's right. It didn't have walls, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the deck with a roof. But so we sent an email to everybody we knew, basically saying, we can provide food, but not much else if you want to come help us build a house in the Pacific. It turns out people who respond positively to that email usually have really positive attitudes, but not a lot of skills.
Yes.
And, you know, the only experience that my wife and I had before trying to build this house was we actually took a construction class at Home Depot on how to build a flower box, which was insufficient, as it turns out.
I see. Well, this isn't necessarily meant to be a guidebook, but it was wonderful to learn from your experiences. But what was the lesson you learned most in your adventures while you're writing A Beginner's Guide to Paradise?
There were three lessons that were really important to me. The first was to avoid the time-sucking illusion that commitment to bad choices will somehow make them better. It usually makes them worse.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to stay focused on the things you actually care about. It sounds really simple, but a lot of us spend a huge amount of time and energy working towards goals that aren't really our goals or aren't meaningful to us. And lastly, it sounds a little hokey, but if you have a dream, something you really want to do, don't get too tangled up in your own underpants asking yourself if it's the right thing to do. And don't listen to the experts, because when it comes to the big decisions, the big choices, we're all just beginners.
Well, thank you, Alex, for all the lessons here and the grand advice in life along the way, too.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
Alex Sheshinoff, whose book, A Beginner's Guide to Paradise, is available in bookstores. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. It's A Beginner's Guide to Paradise, 9 Steps to Giving Up Everything So You Too Can Move to a Pacific Island, Wear a Loincloth, Read 100 Books, Build a Bungalow, Diaper a Baby Monkey, and maybe, just maybe, Fall in Love. And by the way, that title does have an asterisk, and the asterisk at the bottom says, Individual Results May Vary, Baby Monkey Not Included. That's A Beginner's Guide to Paradise. You can learn more again at our website. This is the Book Club at 91.7.